Good morning. Shall we just pray before we come to God's word? Oh Lord, we just thank you that you are indeed here, ever present in our midst. And Lord, as we come now to think about your word, as we ponder it, as we hear it, Lord, we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you will just really write the truths that are of you on our hearts, so that we may go from here knowing more of you and striving to be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when Martin asked you all what Wednesday was, I was just a tad disappointed that no one said Valentine's Day. So I hope he has remembered, hubby. But yes, so Wednesdays, those 40 days of Lent, and we're inviting you, as Martin has said, to consciously and purposely do something generous every day throughout Lent. And so this morning, the sermon time, we're going to be thinking more about the 40 acts and the reasons behind it. So the things that we're talking about this morning are coming from the 40 acts resources that they've given to work out in the churches. So we're going to do that by looking at two passages. So if you have your Bibles with you, and you can open at the book of James, and we're going to read two passages, and the first one is James 1, verses 22-27, and Karis is going to come and read that for us. You might have noticed there's a few young people around this morning. Well, they're doing a Serving Sunday, where Kaylee has dispatched them all to find a way to serve in church. So Karis is very bravely doing the first reading.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Thank you, Karis.
So James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.
Thank you, Martin. So let's just give some context to these two readings from James. They come from, as you know, the book of James, the letter, and it's generally acknowledged that James is the son of Mary and Joseph, the human brother of Jesus. His God-given insights on the Christian life in a letter he wrote from Jerusalem addressed to the Jews that have been dispersed across various places. If you read the whole book of James, you'll find it's intently practical. It's really an easy read. It's very compelling. And James, we believe, was in that unique position. He was close quarters, right in the family, right there, able to observe what was going on. And this week, we're looking specifically at one of the big themes of the book of James, the question of faith, our belief in Jesus, and how it relates to our deeds, if you're thinking about the things we might do in the 40 Acts, the good and the godly things we do. When we attempt a challenge like 40 Acts, which it's got a strong focus on activity, it's good to ask those initial questions about what those actions mean, where our motivation comes from, and what their purpose is. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever invited someone round for dinner? Anyone ever had anyone in their house for dinner? How many of us kind of secretly then think, well, they didn't invite me back? See, it's interesting, isn't it, sometimes what our motivation can be when we do those little acts and actually what we want to get out of it. And how many of our acts are just purely an act of generosity. So some of us may be ready to jump into action. You might be there really ready to do your 40 acts. And some of you may be thinking, what on earth is the point of this? But you see, James is saying in this book that if you just have faith, if you just hear about it and you merely listen, as he said, but you actually don't do anything about it, what's going on? He's giving us this picture, isn't he, that faith should actually affect our lives. That what we say and what we hear on a Sunday morning should have some effect on who we are and what we do in the rest of the week. I think that makes reasonable sense. He explains it with the analogy of a mirror. We might, you know, catch a glimpse of ourselves many times each day. Now, when I was reading this, the people who were writing the 40 Acts resources reminded me that in the old days, you know, the Bible times, they might not have had so many mirrors. They might have had some polished metal and occasionally just caught a glimpse of themselves, but they wouldn't be so familiar with what they look like. They might have to turn to their neighbour and sort of say, does my hair look okay? Is my tie straight? They probably didn't have ties. But, you know, they didn't have those kind of things. And today, though, when we look in the mirror, we become familiar with who we are. And James is saying that, you know, as we look in the mirror, we see ourselves back and we can't get away from it. We're confronted with our own image. And James is saying it should be the same for us when we hear God's word. We should read God's word and we can't get away from it. We should be confronted with what we hear. It should reflect back to us. James encourages us to look intently, verse 25, at God's word. Not just listening as a matter of routine, but getting into God's word as much as we can and letting it affect the way we live. Letting what we hear have an effect on what we do. So it may seem a bit odd at first. You may think, yeah, but I'm quite busy. I've got quite a lot to do. And sometimes we can think that following God can be like a burden, you know, like another thing to put on the to-do list. But James is saying no. It's an opportunity to live life as God has designed you to be. It's an opportunity to mirror, to image him. And we've been hearing this morning, haven't we, of God's generosity to us. You know, we're a motley crew, you know. Well, you might think highly of yourself, but we are. We're weak. We're feeble. We make a mess. We sin. You were here the other week with the dartboard. You know, we're throwing our darts all over the place. But God's generosity means that even though, whilst we are still sinners, he sent his son to die for us, so that we might know eternal life. He is the God who is generous to us. So our commission, our task as Woodside Baptist Church is to be generous to those around us. It's so easy this morning just to listen and to sit back and hear the sermon. But what 40 Acts is really challenging us to do is to put these things into action. To be that generous people who image God, who do as he did. So what I want you to do is I'm going to take a couple of minutes. You're actually going to have to talk to each other this morning. I know, exceptionally scary. You should always check who you sit next to when you sit in church. You never know what you might have to do. I want you to turn to the people around you and start thinking, how can we as a church, as individuals, as people at Woodside Baptist Church, demonstrate generosity in the places that we find ourselves? I'm going to give you a couple of minutes to think about this, and then I'm actually going to ask for some answers. So do be prepared to participate. So if you'd like to turn and have a chat with each other, think about some ways in which we as a church or as individuals can be generous. Right. Martin is ready with the microphone. Did anyone come up with any ideas about how can we as individuals, as a church, be generous this Lent to the community? Martin, we'll run to you.
If you're going shopping, offer an elderly neighbour to get a few things while you're in the shops.
Good idea.
Give all your clothes or your unwanted clothes to the poor, the homeless.
Yeah, give your unwanted clothes to the homeless. Good. Anyone else? Any brave person? Oh, look, yeah, making Martin run. Morning exercise.
Saves me going to the gym.
if you see a homeless person, give them a warm drink or get them some food.
Yeah.
Also spending time and praying with people.
Very important. You don't necessarily always have to spend money to be generous. You know, you can be generous with your time, with your presence.
To charity, like Maura Carey.
Yep, give to charity.
Give to charity, yes, yep.
And visit the sick.
Visit the sick, yes.
Just find out if you've got any neighbours that are on their own and make an effort to just go and spend 10 minutes with them.
Save money to people you meet outside.
Yes, say morning, say hello, be generous with who you are, with be friendly. You know, sometimes, you know, Christians are sort of, you know, so marketed as the chosen frozen, aren't they? You know, you want to be a, we want to give the kind of happiness, the cheery thing that we know God and he is making an effect on our lives.
When you're in the shops or being served by somebody, acknowledge them, smile at them,
yeah,
say hello.
Yeah.
Don't just assume that they're there to serve you.
Yeah. Be good news is who you are.
Be encouraging to people.
Yeah, very much so. Be encouraging to people. People are so ready to tell you when you've done something wrong. I mean, they form queues. But how often do people come and just say, Thank you. Well done. I really appreciated that. It can be a real blessing. It can be a real blessing. So one more and then we'll move on to the next part. Yeah.
We've got time for two more. There was two
more. Two
more.
Oh, yes.
Help there with shopping.
Help with shopping, totally.
When I'm walking about and I see these old people struggling to walk, especially the old men, I'll say to them, come on, young man. Remember when you used to chase the girls in the park? And then they would just start talking.
Yeah.
Because people don't talk. And just saying that, you'd be surprised to know what I hear from them.
That has to be the best one of the morning. But you see, James is encouraging us to actually be the people of the blessing, to be the people who are generous. You know, you see that illustration in the latter part of James where people just give sympathetic words and say, you know, I'll pray for you or I hope you're all right, but are never willing to actually do anything. And the real challenge this morning, it is so, so simple, but actually can be so profound, is actually to step out and do something generous. Just to step out and do something generous. And we're going to see in a minute, we're going to watch another video that will help us to see how that works out. But our prayer this morning is to step out and do something generous. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the generous God who has given us so much. But Lord, we pray that you will help us to be the people of the blessing, the people that step out and do something generous. Help us, Lord, not just to hear your words in James, but to do your words in James. Not to be people just of faith, but to be people of deeds also. Lord, challenge us this Lent. Make us uncomfortable so that we can be the people of the blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.